Thank you for listening to this recording of Family Bible Church's Sunday morning message. We pray that God will use this word to bless and encourage you.
You're sitting if you want to turn to 2 Chronicles 25. Chuck just read the account from 2 Kings 14. And, you know, as we end each of these kings of Judah, and it says, and are the rest of the acts of the king written in the Chronicles of the Kings, da-da-da. So that's why we're going to the Chronicles of the Kings, okay? So we're going to read the rest of the Acts, because there are pieces of information that are given in the account of the Kings that aren't necessarily given in the account of the Chronicles, but the Chronicles tends to give a little bit more information than you just find in the account of the Kings. Because again, if you remember the accounting of the Kings, the Chronicles, if you would, of the Kings, is about both the north and the south, and so it goes through that whole thing, and we read about Elijah and all that kind of stuff, but the Chronicles, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, are really more detailed information about the Chronicles of Judah. And so just as an aside, it's kind of free, kind of added on here, but why suppose there's 1st and 2nd Chronicles, or 1st and 2nd Kings, and then there's 1st and 2nd Chronicles? Why do you suppose that God has both of those? Matthew, Mark, okay, good. You're Jesus. You're answering my question with a question. That's not fair. Okay, so that being said, it's a great analogy. Is it?
More information, different viewpoints on the same.
It's different perspectives on the same information. Okay, good. Okay, but each one of the Gospels really have a purpose as well within it. It's not just a different perspective on the same information. God could have done that whatever way he wanted to, but he has a purpose in each one of those Gospels, and I don't want to go there right now. But the Kings is a pure what? It's history. It's history. The Chronicles only deals with who? Judah. Why is that critical? That's the Messianic line. Make sense? And so these are the Chronicles, if you would, that are critical to the coming of the Messiah. And as we talked about in Sunday school, you know, there are many messiahs, there were many anointed ones throughout Israel's time, but they were continually looking forward to HaMashiach, the Messiah who was to come. And so he was to come through the line of Judah, from David, okay? And so that's why it's important. Now, last week, we looked at Jehoash, or Joash, this smaller name, and we considered, as we were looking at Jehoash, the two men that were there. But within it, we were looking at the power, the influence then, of the people who were around him. Because Jehoash tended to be just kind of like the shifting with the waves kind of guy, okay? And so for the first part of Jehoash's reign, he was what? He was stellar. He did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. But then we have this little add-on that said what? All the days of Jehoiada. As long as Jehoiada lived, Jehoash did everything that was right in the eyes of the Lord. But the minute Jehoiada died, and he died at the age of 130. It may be 131, but 130 is pretty close, right? Okay, so 130. Yeah, he's an old man, right? So he dies. Okay, and so God has him there for an extended period of time. But just immediately right after that, we see that the leaders of Judah come to him, and they do what? They prostrate themselves to him. They bow down to him. They kind of massage the ego there a little bit, right? And then he began then to do what they wanted to do. And what was one of the first acts that Jehoash did when he became king? Now, he was 7 years old, okay? And so he was a boy king for a while. But then when he became of age, what was the first thing we're told that he began to do? Say again.
Repaired
the temple. Before that, that was when they were repairing the temple. But he got rid of the places. He started cleansing. It was the cleansing of the temple, bringing in the priests, but the cleansing of the land as well. Okay, but Jehoiada dies. The leaders of Judah come in, and what do we see that Jehoash does? He brings them back in. He actually builds them. And when the prophet, when When Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, comes, God's using him as a prophet and challenges him. What does Jehoash do? He puts him to death. He gives the command to put him to death. Now, this is all important, okay? Because as Chuck read in 2 Kings there, chapter 14, that the first thing we see about his son, Amaziah, who becomes the king after him, the thing that summarizes his life is that he did what? Anybody remember hearing it? What did he do? He followed in the footsteps, if you would, of Joash. He did everything as his father Joash had done. What does that say about Amaziah? Right? We're not going to preach anything at all. We didn't know anything else about him. How would you summarize Amaziah's life? It wasn't godly. It was confused. It was a mixed bag. We look at believers a lot of times and we think, how can they what? How can they do certain things? How can they call upon the name and yet they do that? And you wonder that, don't you? And so Amaziah is this kind of confused individual. And what we're going to see as we look at him, that what's in your heart, what's in your character, is going to come out in the decisions that you make. Sadly, character, what's in you, is generally, this is a generality, Rick, okay, kind of, is going to be developed by who? By your father. You shared in your testimony that you can look back, and I don't know about you, but I relate to that, okay? I can think back, and I love my dad, and I praise God for what he's done in my dad's life, okay? But I can look back, and I know the importance of my dad in my life, and I know kids, there are memorable, not so good memorable moments in my kids' lives. You know, I haven't always been the stellar example that you see in front of you right now. And just, yeah, what, that's a joke. But I know, I mean, from when I was saved out of and struggles with anger that I had throughout those years, you know, and so I joke a lot of times about families. You know, I've got the first three, I got the twins, and I got Anna and Andrew. You know, I can look at the transitions of my life and God working in my life to see the change in me. And sadly, you can see it in my kids, okay? No, look at my kids. They hate being in a fishbowl. Anyways, but I can see it. You know, I look at my kids and I want, it's got to be y'all. It's mine. Does that make sense? And so my character is stamped upon. Does it make sense? Now, they're going to be responsible for their decision making in the days ahead, yes? But the reality is, they're either going to struggle with my input into their life, or they're going to be blessed because of the input into their life. Does that make sense? And so Amaziah, the influential man in his life, his father, Joash. And so we're told, walked in his what? He walked in his footsteps. And immediately I ask myself, as we go into this then, with this decision-making, Amaziah, what do I want my kids to look like? To invest in their future life. Does that make sense? That's hard to look at 30 years from now. Now, to invest in their lives later on. Okay. Right? Now, the what? The next phase, the next step occurs. Wait. Prophet has spoken. You're going to give me six? Wait, no. I'm out of it now. He said, no, not me. Your wife? Wait, I'm sorry. This is a family moment. This is... I got to get my phone out. I got to record this. Anyway, I'm messing with you.
As a whole?
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. Even if all my kids wind up doubling it, the point is that I have this... We'll talk later. I love it. I'm distracted. Anyways, wow, she's having sex. I didn't know. Anyways, so I have to now proactively be involved in grandchildren. I have This is not, I'm very here and now, me. But I have to realize my grandkids, Axel, is now going to be, what, again, 25, 30 years from now. Okay? And so in those characters, then, are not those characters back there, in your life, are reflected in the decision-making the decisions you make. And so we see that with Amaziah. And specifically, we're going to be talking about three specific decisions that he makes. And so I want to look at his life through three specific decisions. First of all, we're going to see the decision that he has regarding the assassins of Joash. So beginning of chapter 25, we read, Amaziah was 25 years old when he became king, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jehoaddan of Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the sight of Yahweh, but not with a loyal heart. Now it happened as soon as the kingdom was established for him that he executed his servants who had murdered his father, the king. However, he did not execute their children, but did as is written in the law of the book of Moses, where Yahweh commanded, saying, the fathers shall not be put to death for their children, nor shall the children be put to death for their fathers, but a person shall die for his own sin. And so the first thing that we see that he does specifically is to judge the assassins of his father. But know what it says here. He was what? Right. The actions of the king at this moment were what? This is pretty cool. He goes, he must have went back to where? The law of Moses. So think about when Jehoash dies. What is the state of Judah? Jehoash dies. Say again. Idolatry. They're not necessarily following after Yahweh, right? So Amaziah, under somebody's influence, decides that what? He's not going to do it according to his own standard, whatever that might be, but he's going to do it according to the standard of the Word of God. Now this is important, okay? This is critical for what we're going to look at later. He must know what? The Word of God. He must know the law. Have a godly influence in his life to tell him what it is. Because he knows he's going to wipe out the entire family. Was that a possibility in that day? 100%. But he knew what the law was. That the children shouldn't be put to death for the sins of their father. So he only kills who? The assassins. However, the second thing we see is that the king was not complete or perfect. Okay? New King James says loyal. I believe ESV, New American Standard, all the rest say complete. Am I right? Is that what anybody has something different? Okay. And literally the word is the word for shalom. It's not shalom, but it's a derivative of shalom. And shalom, if you understand the word shalom, a lot of times we say shalom means what? Peace. But it doesn't. Okay. That's just a very simple one singular word to translate it. It just means peace. Shalom is a word you just describe it, okay? So I'm going to give you kind of this big kind of out there thing, okay? It's tranquility, okay, that overrides the events of your life physically, socially, nationally, okay? So within everything that's going on around you, you have this tranquility, this peace that transcends human understanding. Make sense? That's shalom, okay? So this wholeness that's out there, okay? And so this concept then of being perfect or complete is this entireness, this that within all of him, okay? And so the idea then is he did what was right, but his heart wasn't complete. It wasn't full. It wasn't tranquil in God. It was what? It was divided. He had a divided heart. And so, wow. So I ask myself, what about me? Is my heart complete? Is it whole? Well, it's going to come out in my what? My action, my decisions. The decisions that I make and reflect it. And so I ask the question, is it better to do the right things or the right intentions? Yeah, right. Both. That's exactly right. But we love this moral dilemma. We love to play this moral dilemma, depending on which side we were on, right? But I did the what? I did the right thing. I did the right thing. What's the problem? The problem is your heart stinks.
You didn't really want to do the right thing.
You may have sat down, but you're sitting up on the inside. You're standing up. You may have sat down, but you're standing up on the inside. Make sense? So you tell the kids, sit down. I told you to sit down. They sit down, but they're like this, you know? You know, yeah. I mean, you all get it. You guys will get it in a few months. And so, you know, you're maybe physically looking like you're obeying, but inside, you're in total rebellion, right? So let's say you have this submissive heart, but you do what you want to do anyway. That's still wrong. And so it's better to do the right thing from the right heart. Now, the reality is, when you boil it all down, if you had to choose which of these two, you have to, okay? Now, you can't say play the game. Which of these two? Which where do you want to go? No. Have the right intentions. Because repent, change the way you think. Have the right heart, ultimately, you're going to what? Desire to do the right thing. But if you have the wrong heart, you're not always going to do the right thing. You don't care. You're going to do the right thing when it's what? When it meets your pleasure. That's exactly right. Not just that when it's easy for you, when it meets your pleasure. Then you'll do the right thing, and you can say, but I'm doing the right thing. So think of Jesus, when he was on the earth, who did he beat up? Not physically. The Pharisees. He called them a bunch of what? Hypocrites, right? Because wearing their big robes and they were doing all the right things, but inside they had a what? A dead heart. Okay? So, better to do from the right heart. But note, then, this whole thing about Job. Now, that it didn't continue. Why? Because his heart wasn't right. His heart wasn't loyal. It wasn't complete. There was shalom, if you would, in his heart toward God. So, we see this second decision quickly coming up here. Verse 5, it says, moreover, Amaziah gathered Judah together and set over them captains of thousands and captains of hundreds according to their father's houses throughout all of Judah and Benjamin, and he numbered them from 20 years old and above and found them to be about 300,000 choice men able to go to war who could handle the spear and shield. He also hired, important point, he also hired 100,000 mighty men of valor for 100 talents of silver. But a man of God, we're not told who, a man of God came to him, saying, O king, do not let the army of Israel go with you, for Yahweh is not with Israel, not with any of the children of Ephraim. But if you go, be gone, be strong in battle, even so God shall make you fall before the enemy. For God has power to help and to overthrow. Then Amaziah said to the man of God, but what shall we do about the 100 talents which I have given to the troops of Israel? And the man of God answered, Yahweh is able to give you much more than this. So Amaziah discharged the troops that had come to him from Ephraim to go back home. Therefore their anger was greatly aroused against Judah, and they returned home in great anger. Then Amaziah strengthened himself, and leading his people, he went to the Valley of Salt and killed 10,000 of the people there. Also the children and cast them down in pieces. But as for the soldiers of the army, which Amaziah had discharged, so that they would not Judah from Samaria to Beth Horon, killed 3,000 in them and took much spoil. So, Word of God doesn't hide things, does it? Okay? I mean, it's like parts you don't want to read, don't want to talk about, so we're probably going to avoid part of that. Decisions regarding the mercenaries. Again, because what we have here is a really powerful moment, a really powerful decision, a positive decision, but a transitional point for Amaziah because of his heart not being complete. Okay? This is important. Okay? Completeness of your heart. Okay, you may be doing the right things, and it may be all intents and purposes, kind of last week, David, you brought out about the heart of that it wasn't entirely, okay? And we're going to see it in his son as well. That so he's the leader, right? So he starts to have this preparation phase, okay, where he's going to put together his army. He has 300,000 crack troops that he's going to use, right? Able to use the spear and the shield, right? But he says to himself, I'm going to go after Edom, and I don't think this is enough. So using the wisdom of the world, he says what? I need more troops. So he does what the world would do in that day. He does what? He hires mercenaries, okay? He goes to Israel and pays all that, okay? My mind just blanked out on that. Was it 1,000? Say again? You say 100 talents. I think New King just says 1,000 talents, doesn't it? It's a lot of money. Okay, you got it, though. You're reading the word. Good. Okay. A lot of money, okay? You got a lot of money, okay, going out for these troops, right? And so right after he pays it and brings them in, so you put yourself in Amaziah's shoes right now, okay? You're the king, and you just all this money out of the national treasury for these troops. And then man of God comes up, whoever it is, I don't know, it could be his son, it could be you, man of God. You walk up, and you walk up to Amaziah, and Billy Graham or you or whoever says to him, says, hey, king, why are you doing that? Do you realize that Yahweh has really revealed himself, that he is not with Israel? In fact, he's wiped out the house of Ahab. He's not even with Jehu, because Jehu's turned against him. And you want to align yourself with him? God's not in it. I promise you. You do this thing. Go ahead. You go ahead and do it. That's what he's saying. Go ahead. Just go ahead. You're going to die. God's not going to bless it. He's not going to be with you. And you're going to die as a result of this. Now, again, think of the situation of Amaziah coming into his reign. Okay? His dad at the end didn't leave him a very good example. He brought back an idolatry. He was all within his character rights, if you would, okay, to reject this guy, because this is a man of God, a prophet of Yahweh, right? To be able to say, God, get out of here. Who do you think you are? Isn't that what Jehoash did with Zechariah? Amazing. What does he do? He listens to him. Now, first he listens. But he responds, okay? We have the exhortation of the prophet, right? But then we have the king's concern here. I love this. I mean, but this is reality. This is real, isn't it? What does the Amaziah say? But what about the money? I just got the money. Couldn't you have 5 minutes ago? Anyways, I mean, you know, it is. But you know what? Sometimes God allows us to go our way. Money, yeah. To put us on the test. You don't read that Amaziah actually went to any of the prophets. He didn't go to the priest. He didn't look for the wisdom of God, right? So he didn't seek God's face. But God sent somebody after the fact. That's exactly right. So he didn't seek God's face. Don't we do that all the times? We do what we want. And then all of a sudden we realize, oh, maybe that's not the right decision. And then we're what? Already made a decision. We got to stick to it now. You got to live it. Put it out, maybe. You know, put it on your mind. Just stick it. No. There's a time to count your losses and to suck up your pride. It does. This is amazing to me. I mean, so he says, what about the money? What about the money? And the man of God says, what? Let it go. Dude, you realize who God is? God is able to multiply what you could ever imagine. He can give it to you. He can take it away. What are you worried about some money for? Do you get that? I mean, we're talking probably millions, okay, in analogies here. We struggle with 20s. And we sell ourselves for 20s. Maybe hundreds. I'll even give you 1,000. Amaziah, this guy who's done, is asked to put millions on the line. And he does. Him away. He sends them off. Now, these guys have already been paid. I mean, that's pretty cool. I mean, I was paid money to put my life on the line, and before I had to put my life on the line, what? You send me home. That's a pretty good deal, I think, you know? I mean, you void the contract. You didn't say sorry. You didn't go, so you don't get paid. And then I'd be mad. Make sense? But how much better I got it? We'll come back to these guys in a moment because they don't make sense either. Okay? But this is that point of test. Amaziah is going to this fiery foundation. We sang the song, How Firm a Foundation, you know? I only use these tests to do to refine you, okay? And so the gold to bring forth. So we have the results. Well, they go out and they slaughter the Edomites. They have this great victory. We're not going to talk about what they've done. That was just part of what the day was. I don't like it. I don't agree with it. But maybe it was a little bit of an indicator of his heart as well and all that. But that's what they did it that day. So they had a great slaughter. Okay, we'll leave it there. But the second part is what's really backlash of the mercenaries. Because these guys get paid their money, but then they're slighted. Do you know what it is? Money. Even when if he doesn't get money. A mercenary is someone who likes what? War. He likes war. He likes to fight. He loves the adrenaline rush. He's going to go out and it's me or you. Okay? He's putting his prowess on the line and his military strategy abilities, right? And so he's getting paid to put his life on the line. And he's betting that money that he's won. He's not going to die. And so what happens when Amaziah says, you guys go back home, he does what? He slaps him. It's a slap. Now, you don't get it because I'm not a mercenary, okay? I'm not out to the highest bidder, that kind of stuff. And so that makes no sense to me, okay? But for them, it made total sense. So Amaziah says, you guys go back. We don't need you. You know, God, no, I think he probably gave him more information. Probably told him what? That's right. The man of God came and said, God's not with you. And so you're actually a negative to have on our side. Wow. Accept that rebuke, huh? To a bunch of people who are not what? God-fearing individuals. Okay, they're idol worshipers, and they were just told the what? The truth. How many believers, I mean, honestly, when you give them the gospel, you want to tell them the good part, right? That God wants them to live with him forever. What's the other side of the coin? That if you don't, what? You're going to hell. And you're going to live in everlasting destruction. For how long? That's why it's called everlasting, right? Everlasting. It's going on and on. How many people want to hear that? Hellfire and brimstone, man, that doesn't sell well. Okay? Is it true? It's true. So these hired mercenaries who got paid, who should have no beef, have a beef because their pride has been and so the army leaves Judah to go fight Edom. What does that leave in Judah? Nobody to guard it, except for these mercenaries who are paid killers. Get it? And so you just released $100,000 throughout Judah. Well, what do? They do what paid killers do. They killed. They said, you hired us to kill? We're going to kill. We're going to kill yours. I think that this is a transition point for Amaziah. Because when he comes back to Edom, what does he find? He finds devastation in his own land. What caused the devastation? Think Amaziah here. What caused the devastation in his land? God's man. To you, God, and look where it brought me. I listened to you, God. I did what you wanted me to do. And look what you have done to this land. Now, I want you to go through this process. What caused this? as sovereign. So God is over everything. I get that. And God could have stopped it. Okay? So get rid of that for a moment. Let's what literally brought Judah to this point? Amaziah what? Divided heart. No, you're going too deep on me now. He didn't consult God in the first place. He didn't consult God in the first place. If he had consulted God in the first place and he would have answered from God, God would have told him what? Don't hire those guys. Don't even go there. Don't even broach it. Don't even do it. I'm with you. You could go there with three guys. You remember your great-grandfather, Jehoshaphat? Do you remember how he took over all that, the three nations that were gathered against him, and all they did was play the trumpet? I mean, they had the jazz band out front, and you won. Anyways, so he said, look, I can do this. But God never got to tell him that. Because Amaziah did what? He did what he wanted. Now, yay, Amaziah, he responded to the word of the Lord. Now, I don't want to put myself on a pedestal, clearly, at all, okay? Or Dave, or Chuck, or Steve, or anybody who speaks, okay? However, when we proclaim the word of God, hopefully we're proclaiming the word of God, okay? And the word of God is proclaimed, and you hear it, how do you respond to it? Amaziah, the guy with the divided heart, did what? He responded. But now he comes to this where the mercenaries destroy them, okay? He brings them now into the decision, okay? Because what happens here as a result of this backlash of the mercenaries, where I stopped here, verse 14, now it was so, after Amaziah came from the slaughter of the Edomites, that he brought the gods of the people of Seir, set them up to be his gods, and bowed down before them, and burned incense to them. Therefore the anger of Yahweh was aroused against Amaziah, and he sent a prophet who said to him, I love this, why have you sought the gods of the people which could not rescue their own people from your hand? How many times have we seen this? They send off to Damascus to find out what the altar looked like for the people that they killed, and they're going to put this altar up in the temple. I don't get it. Clearly that God wasn't bigger than your God, but you want to worship that God anyway. Happened when Amaziah came back. When Amaziah realized what was going on in Judah and the havoc, I think he turned against God. I think his heart turned at that moment. It wasn't complete. It wasn't settled. There was no shalom that he had with him. And so when that trial, that was a big trial. Think about it. Think about what happened to Job. Right? So if Job's Amaziah, all we'd read about Job is what? That Job turned against God and he began to follow after other gods. But he didn't. He lost everything. And Job said, the Lord has given, the Lord has taken away, blessed be the name of the Lord. We don't read Amaziah saying this. I think this is the moment Amaziah reveals the incomplete. And he follows after other gods. Okay? And so he follows after these other gods. And God says, that's it. I'm done with it. Devastation is going to come upon you. Okay? It says, so verse 16, so it was as he talked with him that the king said to him, have we made you the king's counselor? Cease. Why should you be killed? Then the prophet ceased and said, I know that God has determined to destroy you because you have done this and have not heeded my advice. Now Amaziah, king of Judah, asked advice and sent to Joash, the son of Jehoahaz, the son of Jehu, let us face one another battle. And Jehoash, king of Israel, sent to Amaziah, the king of Judah, saying, the thistle that was in Lebanon, so on and so forth. And he says, verse 19, indeed, you have said in your defeated the Edomites, and your heart is lifted up to boast. Now, why should you meddle with trouble that you should fall, you and Judah with you? But Amaziah would not heed, for it came from God. Now, this is the part that we're talking about in 2 Chuck read earlier. We're not reading about what actually caused this, the pride that is coming up in Amaziah. And so we see this coming of the idols of Edom that's going here, the rebuke of Yahweh, and then respond to Amaziah. He wants to. It's amazing. This is the same guy that he listened to before, but now he's what? I don't want any part of you. Who are you? The heart has what? Clearly changed. Okay? And so we come into this final decision, and that is with the skirmish with Israel, okay? And the first thing we see is Amaziah to Jehoash, okay? He comes out, okay, big guy, out, and let's do it. Let's do it. Let's come up. And what we begin to see in Jehoash's heart, in his decisions, is this turning away from Yahweh, okay? What we read in God's word, Proverbs, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. What's the contrast? If you're not trusting in the Lord, who are you trusting in? Yourself. And therefore, you are what? Wise in your own eyes. Proverbs says, the ways of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is what? Wise. What do we see in Amaziah so far? He's stupid, okay? He's rejecting. He is a fool, okay? In verse 12, it says that he who rejects is stupid, okay? I give that to my kids all the time, you know? When we have a battle, I said, just go read Proverbs 12:1. I'm not calling you stupid. God is. Okay? 26:12, do you see a man wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for us than for him. In his own eyes now. I mean, he's rejected God. He's not listening to the counsel of God anymore. He's cut it all off. He's listening to who now? I listened to God. Where did he go? So now I'm going to listen to who? I'm going to listen to me. There's more hope for a what? A fool. And so he sends out to Jehoash and says, come on out, big guy, let's do it. Jehoash comes back to him and says, look, I know. Big fish, small pond, right? You eat the Edomites. You think you're good. That's great. Don't do this. This is going to be nasty for you. And if you start it, I'm going to what? Jehoash doesn't what? He doesn't listen to that. We got Jehoash's retort, but then we've got Judah's defeat. Now, you know, he's a little cocky. Right? But Amaziah says, no, we're doing it. Let's bring it on. You know, it's game warfare. Let's do it. You bring yours out, I'll bring mine out, and let's do it. And so what do we see happen, though? The sad thing is, the first thing we see is the capture of Amaziah. Jehoash captures Amaziah. And then we see the devastation of Jerusalem, the collapse of Jerusalem, city walls. Sad day. Okay? And then finally, the conspiracy of the people. What watched it in your dad, now we're watching it in you. When you start to become fool of yourself, where does it lead us? We're the one who bear the consequences of your foolishness. And so what do the people do? And they do what? They treat him the same way they treated his father. They killed him. So in the end, Amaziah did what was right in the sight of the Lord, but his heart, but not with the How would God describe me or describe you? Not what are other people seeing about you, but what is your heart? Have you chosen to bow down to the defeat idols of the world? You know, in the end, who has the victory. You know it. So why do we give in to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life? They're defeated. They're devices of idols. They're devices of the defeated one. Why do we bow down to them? Do you struggle? Do you struggle with being wise in your own eyes? Are you willing to confess that to the Lord and humble your heart in his presence? And finally, is there a need to change the way you think and therefore change the way you act? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Lord, help us not to be wise in our own eyes. Lord, help us to be humble and to seek your face for your glory. Lord, to turn away from these things of the flesh, these idols of the land. You may receive the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.